Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Shamori, I thought our show's supposed to start with Vallejo's favorite radio station. I thought we were going to get that taken care of this week. What is going on?
Well, we get no respect. Why? What is this? We've been calling for this, and also I know Whitey that 95.7 The Game is Vallejo's favorite radio station for a fact. Okay,
yes.
This is fact. This is fact. So let's get it on there, man. What's the business? Who do we need to talk to?
Yeah, I thought it was taken care of. Maybe next week. Whitey Gleason, Shamori Block, The Block is Hot. Two guys from Vallejo with you on a Saturday. Shamori, I just hope we can get through 3+ hours today without the show devolving into a Dwight Howard, Anthony Davis style shoving match. But if that happens, which one are you and which one am I today?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I don't know which one I am because I'm kind of like more of a chill guy, man. I'm far too chill to find myself in an altercation ever. So yeah. What's his name sitting at the end of the bench, man? I'm Rajon Rondo sitting over there like, guys, come on, let's keep it together. You know, I'm something like that.
Yeah, you remind me of a truism. I've found this to be true dealing with people I've played with and people I've observed, you know, professional athletes. But you're a really tough guy, I'm sure, and you're a real nice guy. And the really tough guys are often very nice because they have nothing to prove. I'm reminded of, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to hang out at all with or talk to Dave Stewart, the former A's pitcher. I mean, and you know, when he had to, he wasn't afraid to mix it up. But the nicest guy. Why? Because he had nothing to prove. He's Dave freaking Stewart. So that when I hear you say you're kind of a chill guy, I think that's why. Because you're very tough, but you don't have to prove that to anybody. It's kind of a Vallejo thing.
Another dynamic, and I'm going to tell the story as quickly as possible, man. But you know that old saying that, hey, the dog or the animal is more afraid than you of you than it is of you. You are it, right? So like I had this neighbor that had this dog. And every time I would pass this neighbor's fence, his dog would just like, bark at me like crazy, right? So one day I'm going outside. One day I'm outside, and the neighbor has a dog. Dog's doing his business in the parking lot of the apartment complex. And the neighbor didn't have this dog like on the leash very well. So the dog sees me, like busts out of the leash, runs towards me like full speed, and I'm just sitting there like, holy crap! And I'm kind of just standing there, right? And this dog breaks out of its leash, does all these sort of things to only to stop like 2 feet from me and then bark at me aggressively from 2 feet away. And it was in that moment, right, that the thing you hear in life, man, about, you know, the people that make the most noise, et cetera, like it literally just hit me. It's like this dog was making all this noise at me because for whatever reason, it was I frightened it. And it definitely didn't want the smoke. And I didn't want the smoke with the dog either, though. But I kept quiet, man. But, you know, yeah, no. So sometimes the people that are the most demonstrative, and I don't know between AD and Dwight Howard, I don't know which one of that is, man. But sometimes the people that make the biggest spectacle and, those are the guys that absolutely, they'll run at you only to bark at you from 2 feet away even more aggressively.
Yeah, I think that dog bark, bark, barked at you, and you held your ground. The dog realized, wait a minute, most people run away. I better be careful with this guy because he's still standing there. As far as the Lakers go, you know, I'm sure I speak for you when I say there's virtually nothing that we see in sports anymore that shocks me. But I just never seen that before in an NBA game. I know Magic Johnson said in all his years he's never seen that. We've seen disagreements, but that was just stunning. And on the text line here, 888-957-9570, early nominee for text of the day. By the way, put your name on it so we can give you credit. From the 707, Shamari, if you're Rondo, you're getting into it with fans courtside, not at the end of the bench. Yeah, Rondo was like pointing out a fan, and I'm sure the fan was probably saying things he shouldn't have said. Rondo's pointing to the guy, but then he's pointing at him like a gun, like shooting him with his finger pistol, and the guy swatted his hand away, and that would be hard not to. If I got Rondo right there and he's like, yeah, bang, 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 I would be hard not to slap his hand away, Shamari.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and also you're close enough to do it.
Yeah.
So why not? Yeah, that whole thing was here's the thing, though, right? Whitey, the Lakers are falling apart. that's my takeaway from this whole thing. The Lakers, it's two games into the season. They're 0-2, and they're falling apart. And that was everybody's de facto Western Conference Finals team, right? Like they already marched them into the finals. They already had them, playing the Brooklyn Nets in the NBA Finals, man. And look at what's going on. And it's kind of funny. Remember Draymond Green's? You can't just put a bunch of vets with a bunch of rookies and expect things to work out. You can't throw a bunch of people that don't have any chemistry together and just because they're good players and expect things to work that way either, man. I've been low on this Lakers team ever since they signed Russell Westbrook, and now two games of the season with 80 more to go. I feel justified. Why do I do?
Yeah, I didn't have them. I know you're right. A lot of people had them automatically in the finals. I didn't. We'll see. It's very early. By the way, Smitty from the 707, Smitty from Vallejo sent the text about Rondo. So thank you, Smitty. He says that we get him through his workouts on the weekends. Well, Smitty, you get us through our workout, too, here on Saturdays and Sundays. So thanks for listening. We appreciate it. So we'll get back to the NBA and the Warriors and, yeah, the Lakers and what the hell's going on. But as you well know, Shamari, here come the 49ers out of the bye tomorrow. And here comes Jimmy G to the rescue. Woo! You, sir, must
Hell
be
yeah.
thrilled.
Exactly. Hey.
Thank goodness.
Whoever,
yeah, thank goodness Jimmy G's back in the saddle tomorrow.
Whoever can get a win, Whitey. Whoever can get a win. I don't care. I 2-3. Oh, already, man. And you know what? You know what? You know what the worst thing about this team is, Whitey? And it's not going to be any of the things that you think. But just take a couple of jabs, and then I'm going to tell you what the absolute worst thing about this 49ers team is. And about
okay.
any team like them, Whitey.
All right.
The worst thing about this team is that they don't suck. They're not good, but they don't suck. If they suck, then we can get on here and be like, oh, my God, these guys are so awful. And if they're great, then you're enjoying the wins. But this team is kind of like, well, they don't suck, but they're not good, and I don't know how to feel about this team. Week to week, I go into a game. I don't know whether they're going to win. I don't know whether they're going to lose, and that should be exciting, except for that there's some kind of, like, weird dark cloud hanging over it to where, like I said, they're not good, but they don't suck, and that is the worst team to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you. We don't know what they are, and they don't seem to know what they are. And, relatively speaking, you look at the high standards that the 49ers had set for themselves. If you don't suck, if that's the best you can say about a team that was intending to go to the Super Bowl, well, that kind of sucks, right? I mean, but they have obviously a lot of time to turn it around. The quarterback back and forth, it's been driven by injury. It's not a matter of Kyle Shanahan going, all right, Jimmy starting tomorrow. All right, Trey Lance back. It's been driven by injury. That said, I think the back and forth has contributed to that sense of no identity. You do have Jimmy G coming back tomorrow. The weather conditions, probably his game is kind of well suited for that. And you've got a veteran, which is great. But the ugly thing.
That is the weather is beautiful because the fact that Jimmy can't throw the ball downfield won't come into play because the other quarterback won't be able to do the same. Boom. Level playing field.
Here's the worst thing about Jimmy Garoppolo this year, and we've gone back and forth on this, and Smitty, if you listen to us on the weekends, we appreciate it, but you know this. Shamari is really anti Jimmy G. He just really wants Trey Lance to play, and I'm more pro Jimmy G at least for now. I agree that Trey Lance is a future, but for now I agree with that notion that Jimmy G gives you the best chance to win. That said, Shamari, a lot of people that are pro Jimmy G have said, look, you win with him, you win with him. Even Kyle has said, look, we win with him. But last 2 years now, and I know Jimmy G's been hurt, but his quarterback record, last year he was 3-3, this year he's 2-2. So they're 5-5. Now, that's kind of ridiculous to put everything on the quarterback's one-loss record, but in all fairness, a lot of the people that said Jimmy's the guy have pointed to that. And so far, last 2 years, they're just, yeah, Jimmy G is 5-5.
Well, and this team is 5-5. That's the – giving Jimmy G credit for wins, giving him credit for losses, that's not who he is, man. He is a cog in the machine. He's not the machine itself, right? Aaron Rodgers, he gets a win-loss record. Tom Brady, he gets a win-loss record. Jimmy G doesn't get win-loss record. He doesn't get that, man. You just don't. Ryan Leaf also gets a win-loss record in the other way, right? But Jimmy G is neither Tom Brady nor is he Ryan Leaf. He's you know, Alex Smithian level quarterback. And that a dude like that, they don't contribute to winning. I'm sorry, they don't contribute to losing. They don't contribute to winning. They kind of are just there. And they're only going to go as far as this team takes them, which brings me to the point that tomorrow, it's not about what Jimmy G does. It's about what Nick Bosa does. It's about what Fred Warner does. It's about what Deebo Samuel does. I wish George Kittle was there. You know, the guys that make a difference on this team don't play the quarterback position. And if they're going to win, it's going to be on those guys because those are the guys that are special in what they do.
I was watching the Colts when they were playing the Ravens, and it was a bad loss for them. But I was watching T.Y. Hilton this a couple weeks ago, and T.Y. Hilton made a spectacular catch. And I was thinking, oh, my goodness, the 49ers, their secondary, they got their hands full with T.Y. Hilton. Well, T.Y. Hilton is out tomorrow with a quad injury. The Colts are more beaten up by injury than the 49ers are right now. They got a whole host of guys that are not playing. So that's one thing that could work in the 49ers' favor tomorrow. It's just going to be interesting to see here where Jimmy is. Supposedly he's healthy. On the text line here, this is for Fred in the Town with another Text of the Day nominee, and he gets right to the heart of it. 888-957-9570. Fred in the Town texting, no running game. Who the hell is at running back right now? Neither quarterback is good enough to carry the team. I agree with you, Fred, and I've said this before. I don't mean to be redundant, Shamari, but the 49ers, one of the reasons they lack an identity is because everything Kyle Shanahan does as an offensive mastermind is based on the run. And they have not been – they've run the ball okay, but they haven't had those explosive plays that you usually see from Raheem Mostert when he's playing. And I think that's one of the reasons everything ran out. Just one of the reasons. The injury is a big reason why the team right now just looks kind of like, it's just they're – I don't know who they are right now, but they're not who they're supposed to be.
I mean, they're not – they're definitely not – they're not winners, okay? I want winners. They're not winners. They're not winners. But they're not losers. They're somewhere in between. And I'm going to watch tomorrow. We're all going to watch tomorrow, okay? This is the Bay Area. We love our Niners. It's the only football team we have left in the Bay. And you want them to do well. You really do. But when you look at it, even against a team like the Colts, Whitey, I feel like they're going to win. I feel like they're going to win. I really do, like in my heart of hearts. But if you feel like they're going to lose tomorrow, you are justified. You are justified in seeing a loss coming tomorrow. And that is the crazy thing, is that the Colts are 2-4. They're horrible. They're not a good football team right now. They have Carson Wentz at quarterback, who got ran out of Philadelphia for a second-round rookie quarterback, right? And if he comes in tomorrow and shreds his defense, I'm not going to be surprised. And that's a problem. After shutting down Kyler Murray 2 weeks ago, right, I could literally see Carson Wentz coming in shedding this defense because they're not consistent and they're shreddable. They are.
On the text line here, Don and SF. Thank you, Don. Over, under for tomorrow's game, maybe 16.5. The wind and rain will slow the game a lot. I don't know if you have that, Shamari. I've been trying to find the over, under for that game tomorrow. It's a great question. And we'll talk more about the elements here coming up bottom of the hour and how I could favor the 49ers. We'll see. But we haven't had, as I'm sure you know, as I'm sure you may have read, we haven't had a lot of bad weather games in this stadium. So it is going to be interesting because I know I started the show talking about atmospheric rivers here, or I intended to, don't know if I did, but I'm kind of tired of that term, Shamari, but we may get real sloppy conditions tomorrow for the 49ers and the Colts. Just old-fashioned rainy football.
You know what? And I looked at the weather report, and the most striking thing for me is tomorrow, when it, during the time where it's going to rain the heaviest, 87% humidity, okay? That is very un-Bay Area-like, man, right? You know, we don't do the humidity out here, so it's going to be rain. It's going to be kind of muggy. And apparently, like you said, it's going to be I heard the term torrential downpour. Now, I'm from the Bay Area, but I lived in the Midwest from the age 20 to 25. And I always say this. We don't know rain here. We don't know rain in the Bay Area. What we call a storm, a lot of other places call a rainy day, right? So I'm curious. I'm curious to see what level of actual, you know, torrential downpour monsoon conditions that we're going to have, whether it's a Bay Area meteorologist saying, well, compared to normal, or people in Alabama or in Missouri are going to be like, okay, yeah, no, this is serious, you know, because I remember when I lived in the Midwest, Whitey, there were days where the clouds literally blacked the sky out to the point where it looked like it was 6 o'clock at noon. We don't get that here. We don't get that here.
No.
At least not as of yet. Goodness gracious, yeah.
888-957-9570. Hey, you can shoot us a text with that number, at that number, or you can give us a call. Ernie, currently in Vallejo. I don't know if Ernie means he's driving through or he intends to move. He says the 49ers' identity is the running game. They are mediocre at best. Running the defense is average. Yeah, that appears to be where they are right now. 43, by the way, is the over-under. Thank you, Sterling Bennett, on the board for us today. 43, according to Caesar Sportsbook. That's the over-under, Shamari. I think I'd go under.
I'm definitely going under. That's 21 points per team. Yeah, no way. Especially not if that 17-10 thing that happened last week against the or 2 weeks ago against the Cardinals. Right? They held Kyler Murray to enough. They held Kyler Murray to 17. Man, you would think, Whitey, that they could do the same to Carson Wentz, but you just don't know. You just don't know. I can see Carson Wentz, and again, maybe not in the torrential downpour that WeatherChannel.com is talking about, right? But I could see Carson Wentz pulling a repeat of what happened last week. Then on the defensive side of the ball, you got DeForest Buckner coming back to town, and he wants to mangle Jimmy G. Not because he doesn't like the dude, just because, you know, the Jimmy G got his money, man. Let's just be honest. Jimmy G has DeForest Buckner's money. And now he's in Indianapolis, and it snows there, man. He's a California kid. He went to Oregon. He's a Cali kid, man. He did not want to find himself in Indianapolis in his career.
He said some interesting things this week, which we'll address here. Shamari Block and me, Whitey Gleason, on 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570. Let's go to, Polo joining us here on 95.7 The Game? Polo,
yes,
you're on
sir,
with
yes.
the White and Shamari.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Sir, how y'all guys doing?
You all right?
What's
how you
up?
Doing?
All right, pretty good. Hey, this is what I got, man. Hey, we missed our defensive coach last year that we had. I went to the Jets. He brings
Silent.
That energy. He brings that energy for us. And another thing, I got with Trey Lance. Coach Shanahan, man, he got Trey Lance looking like Tim Tebow, just a college quarterback. I don't think Trey Lance should take another step on the field this year. Just take a step back and learn the game. And then once he do that, I think he'd come back and looking like a Donovan McNabb. That's all I got for y'all.
Thank you, Polo. Appreciate that. Here's my thing. You know that a lot of people, I think you're one of them, Shamari, a lot of people have said, you know, Trey should be playing more, and maybe he should be. I just think you look at Kyle Shanahan and what's at stake in terms of his reputation with how well Trey Lance plays. And I think he's extremely motivated, Kyle is, to play Trey Lance if he thought he could handle things. He's just not ready to this point. I think that's the number one reason why he hasn't played. But Kyle Shanahan has every reason to play him if he thinks he's close to being ready. And I know he's hurt right now.
Kyle Shanahan doesn't think anybody's capable. He doesn't think Brandon Ayuk's capable. He doesn't think Jimmy G's capable. He doesn't really have a whole lot of trust in Trey Sermon. Who does Kyle Shanahan trust, man? At some point, he asked it. You know what I thought about this week, Whitey? You know what I thought about this week, Whitey? I thought about this. I thought about those last five games of 2017 and how great Jimmy G looked in those games. Then he's like, oh, he needs to learn the offense, okay? And then he's really going to be – and then when he comes back and learns the offense, he looks mundane. He looks boring, and he wasn't, to me, as good. And I kind of wonder, is Kyle Shanahan holding Jimmy Garoppolo back? Like, not in terms of, like, holding him back in terms of, oh, don't throw this, that. He's definitely doing that. But is he holding him back as a quarterback where Jimmy G could be far greater than we've seen over the last three seasons because he's like, oh, no, don't do that, Jimmy. You don't have, you know what I think Kyle Shanahan needs? Remember early on in the Warrior days when Steve Kerr came in and he said, Steve Kerr said something to the effect that when I first started coaching Steph Curry, I'm like, no, don't take that shot. Don't take that shot. Then he started hitting that shot. Yeah. And then Steve Kerr stopped telling him to take that shot. And someone as a quarterback needs to stand up to Kyle Shanahan, kind of like Willie Beam in Any Given Sunday, right? And call your own thing and be like, I know what you just called. Forget you. I'm putting this into the end zone, man. I don't know if Jimmy G is that guy. I don't know if Trey Lance is that guy. But I kind of feel like
you're not that guy, Shanahan, bro, trust me.
I kind of feel like Shanahan is holding back this team, man. Am I crazy to think that way? I kind of feel that.
I'll say this about Jimmy G. Everything would look different. And I know that, hey, you are what you are. Your record is who you are. And you can't go back and say, could have won this game. Might have won this game. But just to show, I think Jimmy has played well this year. If they had held on and won the Green Bay game, then you'd be 3-2. You'd have that big win over Green Bay. And Jimmy would have been the guy, the hero of the game, right? He would have led them back. Well, he basically did that, just the defense couldn't hold on. He's having this year a good year. I do, to your point. After that year when he was 5-0, 2017, then he got hurt. Then the next year, 2019, even though he had good numbers early on, it seemed like he had the yips. And it did seem like there was some kind of dysfunction between he and Kyle. So I don't know. But I do think that there's still a chance for him this year to show that with another year under the system, he's going to be a very good quarterback. I'm looking forward to seeing him play tomorrow. I don't think he's going to have big numbers, but I think they're going to win. I don't think he's going to have big numbers because of the conditions. But I think Jimmy is primed here, assuming he can stay healthy for a while. I think he's going to have a good season. This year he's only thrown a couple of interceptions. He's got 5 touchdown passes. So I think some of the things that you and I are talking about right now, my guess is that a couple of weeks from now, if he's healthy, I think Jimmy's legacy as a 49er quarterback will look a lot different. I could be wrong, but that's my guess. I think they're going to start winning more games, and I think he's going to play better, and I think he's going to force us to rethink some of the things that we're discussing right now.
I doubt it. I doubt it because he's Jimmy G, and he doesn't have to be Joe Montana, or he doesn't even have to be Josh Allen or Brady, or, you know, he doesn't even have to be Matt Ryan.
He just has to win. They just have to win.
Exactly, because he's not – this is the thing. Whatever stats you want to look at, and the win and the W's or the yards per attempt or the this or the that, man, Jimmy
Nerd.
Garoppolo, when you look at him, when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo play quarterback on the NFL field, and this is the worst part. You watch the morning game, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care who those quarterbacks are. Odds are, watching them play quarterback in the NFL is more exciting than Jimmy G. I'm not just talking about the guys that run. I'm talking about the throws the guys make, the throws the guys attempt, the way guys do things like get the draw pass interference flags by, oh, I see some contact that I'm going to throw here and I'm going to get it, right? And all these other little things that you don't see happen when you watch the Niners play. It makes it so... Oh, and then you go watch the Niners, and you're like, okay, are they going to win or they're going to lose? And then you go watch a night game, and then it's like, oh, two more quarterbacks, quarterbacking teams in ways that we can't even imagine here in the Bay Area. And it's more than half the league. It's not a middle-of-the-pack thing. It's more than half the league. And I'm not saying that these guys are necessarily – some of these guys aren't heads and tails above Jimmy. But when you watch other quarterbacks throw the football – most of them look more impressive than Jimmy Garoppolo throwing it. And that is the thing every Sunday as a Niners fan. You watch three games on Sunday, and one of them is Jimmy G, and the other two have four of the quarterback. Oh, and the quarterback he's playing. So you watch five other quarterbacks every Sunday, and three or four of them just look more impressive throwing the football than he does.
So it comes down to this. Is it a matter of Kyle not trusting Jimmy and they rely more on the running game and so they don't let him take shots downfield, they don't let him take chances, or is it a matter of Kyle looking at Jimmy and saying, he can't do it, I'm not going to have him take shots down the field, it would be suicide. Yards per game here, and I apologize because I know you're just talking about stats and how meaningless they can be, but I think this illustrates what you're talking about, and I think anyone who's watched the 49ers knows this, but 2019 yards per game for Jimmy, 248.6. That's not great, but 248.6, 2019, he had a good year. Last year, six games, of course, he was banged up, yards per game, 182.7. And then this year, 231.3. So, yeah, those are underwhelming numbers for your quarterback. Now, if the running game is carrying all the water, you can live with that. But right now, I agree with you. They do, and maybe tomorrow night's not a good example because of the conditions. When the running game is stalled because of injuries, or offensive lines not creating the holes, whatever, then maybe you need a little bit more from your quarterback, and we'll see. I think Jimmy's capable of a little more. You don't. We're going to get our answer, I think, over the next 5 or 6 weeks.
That's the thing, Whitey, is I'm beginning to come to the idea that, because like I said, man, and I think I said this a few weeks ago, right? Like, when Jimmy Garoppolo did what he did the last five games of 2017, I'm like, we found our quarterback. Everybody's like, oh, they're going to give him $30 million. I'm like, that's what a quarterback costs, man. That's what a quarterback like that costs. I've never seen that guy since. And when you think about what conditions existed in 2017 is that he got there. He had only been with the team 5 weeks. He didn't know the playbook. He didn't know the system. And he looked great. And then as soon as he learns the system, he's Trent freaking Dilfer. So maybe it's a system, Whitey. It's got to be the system. And maybe it might make a dude like Matt Ryan an MVP, but maybe if you got a dude that has some of what Jimmy showed in 2017, it makes you, you know, freaking Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. On the text line here from the 650, is Jimmy G a porcelain doll? From the 209, if we lose again and Shanny has another bad play calling game, will he be on the hot seat? And is Ma Nature a 49er fan? We will tackle all those questions and more, 888-957-9570, when Whitey and Shamari continue next right here on 95.7 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Since they built Levi's Stadium, we haven't seen a lot of rainy day games there. We're supposed to get one tomorrow night. Whitey Gleese and Shamari Block here on 95.7 The Game. Shamari, I was really surprised by my own reaction. What was that, about a week ago when we actually started getting rain? Because it's been, what, more than 100 days. Seriously, I was like, you know, I had heard the rain outside, and I was like, I still, on some level, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I think, is it raining? Is it? And I went out and told my wife, like, I think it's raining. And we were serious. She's like, no. It's raining. It's been so long.
Whitey, I swear to God. I was hanging out with some friends, man. We're having a couple brews. We're in the back patio of this place on Grand Avenue in Oakland, man. We're on the patio. It's like 7 o'clock at night or whatever it is. And actually, it was later than that. But no, short version of it is someone's like, it's going to rain. I'm like, it's not going to rain. It's like, the weather report said it's going to rain, like, starting right now. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Weather report doesn't know. The rain starts falling. I'm like, no, it's not. I literally had to get, you know, the rain had to fall on my face several times before I believed it happened. Like, I could hear it. I could smell it. You know how smell the rain makes? I could smell the rain. Yep. I'm like, it's not. It's the middle of October. This doesn't happen until the end of October. So maybe is it El? I mean, I know we have atmospheric river, but are we in an El Nino year? Is that a thing? Remember
Don't know. Maybe, but I don't know. But I do think we've identified a new phenomenon here, a psychological phenomenon. I think Californians, it's been so long since it rained, I think we experienced precipitation denial. There's this part of your brain, right? That's like, nah, it's not going to rain.
No, but I'm
water's not going to magically fall from the sky. You're out of your mind.
I'm literally telling someone it's not raining as rain is falling on my head, man. That's the thing.
So 888. Go ahead.
I got a question for you. Let's get back to this, because I was thinking about this during the commercial break. And when you talk about what outcome of this game would surprise you, right? Like, would a win change your perception of this team, or would a loss change your perception of the team? Like, that says a lot in terms of, what do I think of this team? And I'm not sure, because I'll be honest, man, if they lose tomorrow, my perception is going to be, okay, they don't suck, but they're, you know, they're not great either. But if they win, I think that actually would elevate them in my mind, you know? And I don't know what you think. And 888-957-9570. Which outcome tomorrow, win or loss, would change your perception of the team and why? Because, that you know, because like I said, I don't know what to make of this team. I don't think anybody does. I don't think Kyle Shanahan knows what to make of this team. But to me, the loss would be the one that I'd be like, okay, yeah, that's who they are.
Well, I think a lot of people, fans anyway, really down on Shanahan right now, right? It's kind of interesting. I mentioned someone was asking, the Bay Sports Drop was asking, if we lose and Shanny has another bad play calling game, will he be on the hot seat? He's not going to be on the real hot seat that is Jed York has him locked down for a while. He's not going to be in the hot seat in that respect for some time, if ever. But fans, you can tell already, are wondering, hey, what is so great about this offensive genius? 888-957-9570. Don't take it from me. Here's Leroy on 95.7 The Game. Leroy, is Kyle Shanahan the right coach for this team?
Yes, hey, it's a pleasure to be on. And this is nothing new for me, because I've been calling 95.7 The Game for the past 2 years and, you know, telling different hosts that the problem is Shanahan. And he was sold as this genius, right? He sold us as fans on, we're going to get Jimmy Garoppolo, a gentleman with no playing experience. Oh, yeah, he sat behind Tom Brady, and he, you know, sat behind the greatest coach in the world. But where was the playing experience? Like, how did San Francisco 49er fans buy into Jimmy Garoppolo with no playing experience? And then you pay him franchise quarterback money. Oh, because we don't want him to get upset. You know, we got to give him this money because he might get upset and go somewhere else, like he had done anything. So I said, okay. Here's Shanahan, and he wants to be the smartest guy in the room all the time. And he wants character guys, not for the main reason you should want character guys, but he wants character guys that'll go, oh, okay, yeah, the coach is right, and, you know, we're not going to make any waves, and I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to put my head down and go, yes, sir, and do what he asked me to do. And this is the kind of guys that he wanted to bring in. And I kept going, where is this genius play calling. Where is it? I don't see it. I want to give him a chance. And I've always said, if Garoppolo failed, to me, Shanahan and Lynch go down with that ship. But here's the thing, the main point I want to make. I said a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we will never know how good Jimmy Garoppolo can be because Shanahan won't let us know. He's good for one long pass down the field, and if he doesn't complete it, Shanahan goes, okay, we're not going to let him do it anymore. We'll never know how good Trey Lance can be because Shanahan won't let us know. And that's just where I've always been. This is nothing new for me. Have a great day, guys.
You too, Leroy. Thank you. I will say this, Shamari. I'm guessing even you can agree with me. If you go back to when the 49ers acquired Jimmy Garoppolo, it looked like they were getting a plum of a player, right? He was a guy that Belichick had in waiting. He was going to be the replacement for Brady. I almost said he was going to be the next Brady, but I realized I better not say that. And when he came in with the 49ers, of course, in that 2017 season, when they eventually started playing him, he was 5-0. So it looked like, well, they got a good quarterback. I think at the time, I don't know that Kyle was all gung-ho about Jimmy G. I think he still had googly eyes for Kirk Cousins. By the way, Kirk Cousins is having a great freaking year. But I do see why at the time they were pretty excited about getting Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you agree with that?
Well, no. I mean, like I just said this earlier on this program, after those last five games of 2017, man, I'm like, we got our guy. That's what I said. But had the Niners not given Jimmy Garoppolo 150 or whatever they got, someone else is going to, right? Jimmy G was a hot commodity at the time. Now he's lost his luster. But so it's easy to come back now and be like, this guy was, but somebody was going to give him that money. And I, even going back, knowing right now what happened, if I can go back right now knowing what happened, I'd be like, don't pay him. But in that moment, I don't think anybody that, across front offices, fans, et cetera, didn't think Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be a guy. But he didn't get better, and he regressed. Whitey, that's the worst part about this, is that he regressed. He regressed, and I'm beginning to blame Shanahan for that. Because that dude at the end of 2017, man, that dude, watching that dude play football, it made you feel some kind of way. And watching the guy now, you just kind of feel like, oh, God, okay. So when is that Lance guy going to be ready again? That's how you feel watching him now. And before, you were like, oh, man, this guy, he can take his place. And even in 2019, when he was winning games and he went to the Super Bowl, it didn't look like an impressive brand of quarterbacking. And I'm not a dude who is like, oh, the quarterback has to run around and make plays. You watch Brady make some of the throws he makes. You watch Rodgers, some of these pocket dudes make those throws. That gets me out of my seat, too. And Jimmy does none of those things. He does none of them. And, he wins. But he's sitting there for a reason. Trey Lance is here, whether it's next week or next season, Trey Lance is here for a reason. And Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch identified Jimmy Garoppolo as the condition that needed to be changed in this team. And that's why Trey Lance is here. And who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with Trey Lance, man? We have some people on the text line bringing up the fact that, Kyle Shanahan trusts nobody. He brings in all these people. But Whitey, and I know we've had this conversation before, but I'm just going to rehash this a little bit. Now, so we got a lot. The phone lines are lighting up, man. Antonio Connor, we're going to get to you. Is it Kyle Shanahan the GM, or is it Kyle Shanahan the coach? That's the thing, because I'm actually beginning. I've always doubted Kyle Shanahan the GM. Now I think I'm starting to doubt Kyle Shanahan the coach a little bit.
A lot of people have been talking about Kyle Shanahan the offensive coordinator, not that great. To your point, I look at the way this team has played sloppy football, the way they've gotten off to slow starts. They haven't been able to create turnovers. They've turned the ball over too much. And to me, that reflects clearly on your head coach. It's like, this is not a buttoned-up team right now. This team lacks the identity. These are things that come to the you could place at the doorstep of your head coach. I think Kyle is a smart enough guy. He's never really faced these issues before as the coach of the 49ers. I think he's smart enough to sort through them and figure them out. We should start to get some answers as to whether he has or not tomorrow coming out of the bye. But I'm with you. Again, It's not so much to me about, oh, him as the coordinator. It's like, hey, the head coach has to fix some of these things. He's responsible. I just want to say about Jimmy, and again, as I said, I realize you may be 100% right. Jimmy's best year by far, 2019, right? That was his best year. He threw too many interceptions, and then sometimes Shanahan like pulled the reins back, but he had an excellent year that year. Did he have a great year? He had an excellent year. Has he gotten better since then? No, but I think the reason he hasn't gotten better, the main reason is because he's been hurt. And of course, a guy gets hurt, he can't perform. Well, you can't just, we got to keep throwing him out there because he was good before he was hurt. I still think that Jimmy is there with another year under the system. I still think there's a chance the 49ers are going to see the best Jimmy they've ever seen this year. And then, yeah, they're ready to move off of him as soon as Trey Lance is ready. But while a lot of people criticize the way they've handled this situation with the quarterbacks, I understand that. I think it's been an awkward situation. The injuries have complicated it further. But I think the fact that here you are tomorrow, you've got a big game you got to win, and Trey Lance is hurt. You have Jimmy G, and he's ready to go. I think that speaks to the wisdom of this decision. You've got a guy who has won. If it wasn't for Jimmy G, it'd be Nate Sudfeld starting tomorrow. You wouldn't want that. So it's been a little clumsy, and at some point, somebody has to, Jimmy has to stay healthy. They've got to establish a running game. They've got to get things established. But if they do that, I think they can still win this year, and I think Jimmy can still end up being an effective quarterback this year. We'll see, but I believe that with all my heart, Shamari.
I get that. I just, again, if Bosa doesn't show up, if Debo doesn't show up, if Eric Armstead and company don't show up, D Ford, right? If these guys don't show up tomorrow, the Jimmy G's not going to overcome, if Trent Williams, he's questionable. If Trent Williams doesn't play tomorrow,
he's not
going
to play. I don't think he's going to play. Now he's out.
Yeah, without George Kittle, man, Jimmy G's not the guy. And maybe Whitey, maybe he shows it. But Jimmy G's not the guy that's going to have a fifth-round rookie protecting his blind side. No George Kittle, no Raheem Mostert, handing the ball off to Trenton Cannon and Trey Sermon. He's not the guy that's going to make things happen under those conditions. He's just not. And he doesn't – and, that's
Shamari,
okay. That's who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, but as you mentioned, we have the phones are lighting up here, so let's jump to the phones and start with Antonio here in Oakland on 95.7 The Game. Antonio, you're on with Shamari and Whitey. What's up?
Yeah, I think we're going to win tomorrow. I mean, this is not, they don't have Peyton Manning or Marvin Harrison or Reggie Wayne or Freeney and Mathis. Edge rush duo ever. But, hey, if he doesn't win, hey, like our last head coach, Jim Harbaugh, said, about to get real, real, real fast. So he got to win this, what I'm saying? Like, I think we will, though. We're back at home on prime time. Supposed to have the 94 throwback jerseys. I'm ready to win this game. But I'm tired of Shanahan's bad drafting, like a second-round guard not being able to play on opening day. Actually, the first three-round picks, for the first round, second round, third round, guys, the corner, Ambry Thomas hasn't suited up. Trey Sermon's just now suiting up. He's doing pretty good, but like, man, all these misses. I wish they would have drafted Rondale Moore. I'm not going to let that go. He's not a vision now. So, and he should have signed Tom Brady. We could have had a Super Bowl by now, right?
You also could have had Mahomes. Yeah. Let's not forget that, Antonio. Mahomes is there, and they went Solomon Thomas.
That is well. And I wanted Patrick Mahomes, too. Shoot, man. I called for that draft, man.
I'll be honest. I was a Deshaun Watson in that draft, but I guess I'm glad they didn't do that. I would have taken 3 years of Deshaun Watson and then, him be in the conditions. I would have taken those 3 years, okay, that Deshaun Watson have. And then we figure out now, I'd have taken it. But no.
Yeah, I know what Antonio means, though, Shamari, and I don't know if you're like this, but like when the Warriors drafted Wiseman, and maybe that works out, I wanted him to take Halliburton. And he's, he had a really good year last year. And I know the rest of my life, I'm going to be saying that. I told them they should have taken Halliburton. I'm never going to let that go. That's how it is when you want a guy and your team doesn't take him. And it turns out you were right and they weren't. 888-957-9570. Let's talk to Connor in Oakland, 95.7 The Game. Hello, Connor. You're on with Shamari and Whitey. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I think the last three stories we've seen over the last 2 weeks, whether it's all this speculation about why Ayuk isn't getting the ball, all this speculation about why we traded Buckner for draft picks, And now we've got all this speculation about this, that, and the other. Unifying threat that's kind of frustrating for a fan is to hear everyone speculate about what they think Kyle Shanahan thinks. And all they're doing is taking these stories that they hear from kind of busybody journalists, whether it's Adam Schefter or Grant Cohn, and they're thinking, oh, he's arrogant. Oh, Kyle thinks this. Oh, Kyle thinks that. Oh, Kyle gave the ball to Trey Lance to run 16 times when they're not even watching the All-22 video. The most important thing to me is, like, we actually don't know what Kyle's like. We don't know what he's like in the front office. We have very little information about that. So, like, I think people need to calm down about speculating, thinking that they are, like, armchair psychologists and they know what Kyle's thinking. They don't. Thanks.
Thank you, Connor. And that's why, yeah, the one thing I think I do know is I know he's smart. And a smart person can quite often figure their way through difficulties. And so I have a lot of faith that Kyle, beginning tomorrow night, will start to work through some of these things. 888-957-9570. But I could be wrong about that, too. Lori in Phoenix joins us, 95.7 The Game. How are you, Lori?
Hey, guys. So, you know, I still say we're getting all worked up over, I mean, every time the story breaks, we have to go back over, you know, we're still talking about not drafting Patrick Mahomes. We're talking about the Buckner thing. It's just, you can't go back. You've got to go forward. Okay. So yes, did the Buckner thing hurt? Absolutely. But they also were looking at having to sign Kittle, having to sign Warner. They needed other guys too. And so they just couldn't get it done. They took a chance and the Kinlaw thing hasn't worked out real well for them. So yeah, it does kind of make them look a little bit like they've got a little egg on their face, but at the end of the day, they made the best decisions with the knowledge that they had at the time. And I think it's real easy to look in the back, you know, hindsight's 20/20. So you look at all the drafts that are happening. It's easy to look and say, oh, well, they should have got this guy. Well, they should have got that. Well, they didn't have that information at that time. So it's really not fair to say, okay, well, they just don't know how to draft. Because you also picked up Kittle. You got Warner. You got Dre Greenlaw. There's guys that they have drafted that have been solid draft picks and have been solid football players. And everybody's saying, oh, well, Solomon Thomas, what a bust. Well, he's still playing in the NFL, and he's having a decent season with the Raiders. Now, should he even pick third? No. But the whole thing is that they're not looking back because they have to play football now, and they have to look forward. And they've got to get through whatever this is that's going on right now with this team. I don't think it's coaching. I don't necessarily even think it's players. There's still lingering injuries. Last year was one of those years where we just had everybody was hurt, you know, and then you try to come in and you think everybody's going to bounce back. Well, you start off on artificial turf. You lose Mostert and Verrett your first week. There's a little bit of bad luck still happening, but there's also a little bit of execution issues that they're having. So I think offensively is definitely where the bulk of the problems are. I think, but, you know, week three, everybody was ready to hang D'Amico Ryans. I think people are just on edge with this team. But you think about it, this team is one score from winning games, right? We're not getting blown out in games. We're not absolutely just, you know, awful. We just aren't the team that we thought we were going to be. We aren't the powerhouse that they thought they were going to be. So I say, you know what, this week, obviously with the rain tomorrow, that's another factor that's going to make things interesting. But, you know, you got Hasty back. I mean, not having Trent Williams is going to be awful, especially since you don't have Kittle. But they just need to go out there. They need to put their heads on straight, and they need to get a win. And then go from there. Then Chicago, get another win, and then go forward and see where we're at this season. But I think it's just way too premature, way too early to start saying it's the coaching, it's the players, we're just a bad team.
Thank you, Lori. Appreciate that, as always. I will say this, Jamari. I think if Kinlaw were healthier, and he's not, and that comes back on the 49ers who made that decision, if he were able to stay healthy, I think people would have an easier time dealing with the Buckner trade. But to Lori's point about the draft, yeah, they've landed some better picks later in the draft, but they've missed on the big ticket picks for the most part, right? We don't know about Trey Lance, and if they're right on Trey Lance, that takes care of a lot of your other issues. But some of the higher picks, they've struggled to convert.
Well, and Whitey, and it's not like Lori was saying. It's at that time, man. I feel like a lot of people. No, not that many people would have taken Solomon Thomas third. I personally was literally all over the Deshaun Watson trade, okay? And off the field occurrences aside, okay? All the field, Deshaun Watson has been legit. That dude was a starter that beat Alabama almost single-handedly once and almost beat Alabama twice, basically on the strength of his moxie and his quarterback play. There have been a lot. It's not that these moves. When they traded Buckner, most Niners fans were like, why would you do that? You know, it's not like people are looking back and saying things. These are things in that moment that people are like, why would you do that? What is he doing? And I can't think of a coach in Niners history, even Dennis Erickson, even Mike Nolan, because when they did boneheaded things, you're just like, that guy's an idiot. That does, you know, that. But a lot of times Shanahan makes you just like, what the hell is going on? I can't remember asking what the hell is going on more about any coach in 49ers history. And we had Mike Singletary there.
Yeah, that's who I was going to bring up. But real quick, let's get in one more call here. 888-957-9570. Joe in San Francisco, you're 95.7 The Game. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Happy dry day before the storm. I respectfully disagree with Lori when it comes to the drafting picks and such. Of the four big sports in North America, there are only like 120 jobs of GM. As harsh as this sounds, the job of the GM is fundamentally to predict the future. Will this guy or that guy be better 3 years from now? Should we re-sign this guy to, you know, play? Or are we going to get a return on investment or that guy? How much is this guy worth compared to the other guys on the market? And Kyle and whoever, you know, final authority has failed miserably in predicting the future of who's going to be a good fit. Guys he's drafted up for have typically, when he drafts up, they draft up, they've made big mistakes. And so he gets criticism. If you can't predict and staff a roster that's healthy, productive, and talented and moving forward, that is his responsibility. And as his coach, the problem I have with him is I think his most important offensive player in the entire organization is his scheme. He values scheme more over talent. And I think he thinks that you execute my scheme, you know, Cousins, we will win. But this is not like Queen's Gambit where, as we know, you can sit and think and analyze, you know, the next move. Things break down on the field, and sometimes talent has to take over. And he has, with, you know, Mahomes and Watson and other guys, he has not wanted to invest in talent. He wants guys who will execute his scheme. And that's where his ego comes in. And so, he hasn't done well as a general manager predicting who's going to be the best fit, and he is obsessed with his scheme to the detriment, I think, of his roster.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.